for long and healthy life.
Washington, D.C. next week. Cherry blossoms. I hope they're in full bloom. Benny Martinez from Talk Radio News joins us. Benny, can you guarantee me on Saturday I will see cherry blossoms?
You will indeed see cherry blossoms, Kate. And if you want, I can show you where the best place is to see them.
Oh, all right. I'm going to take you up on that. You got to tell me where those best places are. I want to know because I'm thinking by the Smithsonian, but I might be wrong on that. It's been so long since I've seen them because usually when I've gone to D.C., it's been later in the year.
Yeah, well, down in the tidal basin where you see the Jefferson Memorial, that's where some of the original trees that were gifted to the United States by the Japanese, some of them are still there. They're well over 100 years old now.
Cool.
Less than 100 years, excuse me.
All right, there's one big hint. It wasn't cherry blossoms that they were talking about today, the senators anyway. It was about the highway bill. So what happens there? I mean, the Republicans are lining up to, I think, punt on this sucker. What did you hear?
Well, Kate, I actually agree with you in the sense that Republicans are actually expecting the highway bill to, in fact, not pass. So essentially what happened is John Boehner has been trying to put together a highway bill for quite some time, but he couldn't garner the support from rank-and-file Republicans. So, time and time again, he failed. And what happened was the Senate ended up passing its own highway bill. Senator Barbara Boxer of California and Senator James Inhofe worked together in a bipartisan way and put together the Senate bill and actually passed the Senate with 74 votes. So what they're doing now is they're trying to push Speaker Boehner to take this bill up. Because right now what House Republicans are trying to do is pass a short-term extension, a short-term three-month extension, to give them more time to, in fact, convince some of the Republican House members to jump on board with them. So, and to add to all this controversy, there's this a gas tax, which funds some of the major highway programs in the country, which is part of this highway authorization, but expires on March 31st. So yet again, we have this new deadline to talk about on Capitol Hill and whether or not Congress can, come together and get something done before that March 31st deadline, arrives.
All right, we'll be waiting for that because that's just next week that we're talking about. So time is ticking.
Really soon. And it's the common theme, Kate. It's always down to the 11th hour. It always seems, actually it works for the media because, we always have a story and something to talk about right up until that deadline. But, it kind of is old. It's kind of like a broken record on Congressional Hill.
Oh, yeah. It's all about Band-Aids, baby. I think when you get elected to office and you're a first-timer, you got to carry a bunch of Band-Aids because that's what we are. We're a Band-Aid nation. It's crazy. endorsements, always heavy endorsements are sought after, Democrat or Republican, especially you're running for a high office like president. And now Jeb Bush decides to throw his weight behind Mitt Romney. How much clout do you think the former Florida governor holds?
I actually think he holds a ton of clout, and mainly because of his last name, Bush. Obviously there's some history to that in the sense that two Bushes in the past 20 years have been president of the United States. So I think it carries some clout within the Republican Party. But Mitt Romney actually is riding this momentum from yesterday's victory in the Illinois primary. That was one of the states that was kind of like a, make or break for Sam Torm. I would argue he had to win that to kind of, solidify his spot as a contender rather than just some guy who's sticking around jabbing Mitt Romney. But because Romney won in the fashion that he did win by double digits, I think he carried that momentum over today. And what Jeb Bush saw in him was, the potential to beat Barack Obama in November. And another message Jeb Bush came out with was he's trying to unify the party behind one candidate. I think he's fed up, actually, with, the amount of time it's taking to get a Republican nominee. And the longer this goes, it's more difficult for him to solidify a campaign strategy against the president.
I agree. It's been so dragged out. It's ridiculous. This goes till June. I would think that wouldn't really bode that well for the Republicans. It'd be better just to say, look, Romney's got the numbers. I say this every night on the show. It's him. So get behind him and then move on. He's got the golden ticket and wait till you get to Tampa. Speaking of Mitt Romney, I thought this was funny. Some of the Republican candidates, you mentioned Santorum, needed to win in Illinois and prove that he was still a contender. Well, he's still at his poking with Mitt Romney, and Gingrich jumped in on this too. It was the whole thing about Etch-a-Sketch. Did you have an Etch-a-Sketch when you were a kid?
Yeah, Kate, and actually, I was pretty good at Etch-a-Sketch. I could spell my name in cursive, you know. It took me a while, but I could still do it. But yeah, this Etch-a-Sketch story is a new development this afternoon, where what happened was some media outlets were asking Romney's campaign spokesman how his strategy would policy-wise would change, if at all, you know, if Governor Romney were to become the eventual Republican presidential nominee. I mean, what the spokesman said was that his policies would be kind of like an Etch-a-Sketch. He'd have to start, shake it up, you know, erase everything and start over from scratch. And I think where he was trying to go with that is that it's just, he has to, you know, his target is a different person. He has a different strategy. You have to adapt to that strategy. But the media, it just flipped the lid over this and it was like the king of Twitter for about half an hour. I get a lot of my news on Twitter. I follow it, you know, habitually, and it blew up. It was this new thing. But the fact of the matter is, Kate, I think what he was trying to say here is that, you know, Governor Romney, if he should become the nominee, you know, is going to have to change things up to compete against President Obama. But it didn't really look good on him, and Romney refused to comment on it when he was asked about it earlier today.
Yeah, I thought it was very funny. Benny Martinez, Talk Radio News. Thanks. We'll talk to you soon. Coming up. Coming up on America Tonight, we've got a relevant, irrelevant, or a footnote. That's the Occupy movement. Obama and energy as the president goes public with his pipeline thoughts as to what's going to happen in the future. Keystone Pipeline, hot, hot, hot. You know how I feel about that. I've been under attack for a long time since I came out and said I think that we should have the pipeline running from Canada all the way down through to Texas. However, the southern portion of the pipeline is certainly a go, and the president took the opportunity to use it to his political advantage. But was it a power play? Does it mean something? And what about the green energy setbacks that plague this president? I said on the previous show that if we were going to have an alternative that was viable, when did I think it would be something that we could all use in our everyday life as a form of replacing gasoline? And my number, and I asked everybody, and boy, a lot of you sent in your thoughts on this. I said I didn't think it would happen until 2030. So think of where we are now, 2012, 2030, before there's another really seriously viable alternative that's widespread and affordable. So energy, energy, energy was really the theme on the day, both for the Republicans and for the president as he makes his way halfway through a tour west in the United States. We're going to talk about that next, plus the Occupy movement, relevant, irrelevant, or a footnote. Some new arrests in New York made me think about this. How long has the Occupy show been going on? Well, since September of last year. Hang with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Your family and loved ones aren't ready for empty grocery store shelves. Will they survive if the system crashes tomorrow? Are you prepared to feed your family when a major crisis occurs? Will they perish from the lack of available food because you procrastinated? Getting self-reliant is the only way to ensure you and your loved ones will make it through the coming hardships. One of the most important survival products that is a must-have is garden food seeds. GetSeeds.net is offering a huge garden in a bag that will give you and your family the food security that it deserves. Our food garden in a bag consists of a whopping 100 packets of the highest quality non-GMO, heirloom vegetable, culinary herbs, and a couple of garden variety of fruit seeds for only $59. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, 100 packets of seeds for only $59. This blowout sale will end soon, so call now to secure your huge garden in a bag that is heat sealed for long-term storage at GetSeeds.net. That's GetSeeds.net, or call now at 877-341-GROW. That's 877-341-4769. Don't delay, call today.
The day has to be when it comes to energy, and, you know, why not? If I was running for re-election and everybody was complaining about the price of gas, you got to do something to make Americans think that you're at least trying, right? So the president decides that he's going to go for the ultimate photo op and head out to the South and Oklahoma, and where the portion of the pipeline, the southern part of the pipeline, is being built. But what's interesting here is this was already in the works. We already know that. And it still does not address the situation of the Keystone Pipeline in its entirety, the 1,700 miles that would go from the sands in Canada, from the tar sands in Canada all the way down to our Gulf Coast, where ultimately it could be taken out on tankers and such. And so people will call and say, well, who cares? That's not going to affect us. How much of that oil are we going to see? The point is, there will be some blowback for us. There will be some opportunity there, and plus jobs. The job situation for how many people you would need to work in several capacities along that pipeline would be pretty incredible. Certainly enough to put many, many Americans back to work. When we're talking about these so-called shovel jobs, half of them materializing them, materializing, half of them not. This is a job that guaranteed would be there. So to not do it and to let the pipeline just sit there in virtual unreality, I guess, to me is a huge blunder. So the president makes an energy push again, and as I said, does it where this southern part of the pipeline is going to happen, and talks about that we've got 2% of the world oil reserves and we use 20%. But as you look at the numbers, somebody that we've had on this show several times throughout the year, Dan Kish of the Institute for Energy Research, says, you know, what is he talking about with the oil? It's the oil that we've already found, that we already have that. So it's misleading when you look at the word, you know, we use 20%. There's 219 billion barrels, give or take, more in what we would say is recoverable energy. Now, the Energy Department says there's 20 times that much. They say there's 400 billion barrels more. And some say there's 60 times more than that amount. So I'm looking at all these numbers today, confused as all get out. And the number that I arrive at is over 1.4 trillion barrels in resources that we haven't tapped into. So you've got to be kidding me when we're sitting here wrestling over gas prices. I mean, this is just the stuff we know that we have, but it hasn't been drilled for. And so there may be more. 1 trillion-plus barrels of oil? That's more than the Saudis have. Much more than the Saudis have. So who's zooming who? We're just not tapping into those resources. And our consumption rate right now? So I say, what do we do with alternatives that I don't believe we'd have anything viable for 2030? Well, it's that old trick of mirror, mirror on the wall. Who uses the most gas of all? That's us. So if this is who we are and this is what we do, why are we not going after that oil? We would own the market. Why do we even consider the plays that we have to make in the Middle East? Even if it's only a small percent of what we get. We have plenty. We have plenty of oil right here in our own backyard. So when the president goes for the photo op in Oklahoma and says the statement that I said, we've got 2% of the world oil reserves, we use 20%, that is incorrect math. For a Harvard guy, he has fuzzy numbers. Fuzzy numbers. If we're weaning ourselves off of oil and we're looking at other alternatives, then we better get going because we're way behind in the game. So, do we push for drilling? Do we open up those federal lands? Or do we quickly start producing ethanol and getting the cars ready for ethanol? Because it's not going to be nuclear powered. There'd be an uproar over nuclear powered capacity for cars. It's not happening. And the only other alternative I see besides electricity would be ethanol. So we do have the resources here in the United States. Another guest that we've had on the show, we had him on from New Hampshire, Jack Girardi. He's the president of the American Petroleum Institute. Well, you know which side his bread is buttered on. But Jack could point to those same numbers, and he's actually right. If we have these reserves, and we've got 20 billion barrels back in 1944, and we've produced more than 170 billion barrels since then, and the proven reserves are still just over 20 billion, you know, something's really wrong with this. So why don't we use the Canadian resources? We're already getting 25% of our oil from that direction anyway. And why aren't we tapping into our oil? We could be completely self-sufficient. And let's just say, I'll take a conservative estimate from all the conversations that we've had, and I'll say in 15 years. So you know what that means? That means that it would be 2027 that we could sustain ourselves with our thirst for oil. We wouldn't even have to worry about anybody else. And it's interesting, Christine Lagarde, the head of the International Monetary Fund, is saying that gasoline is going to spike another 30% because of where we sit right now. And we're doing nothing about it. The dependency and our allies, and where are they dependent? Who are they dependent upon? And she was talking about, she sees oil spiking or gas spiking up another 30% because of Iran, and how Iran shutting off the spigot is completely catastrophic to Europe. And she's right, it is catastrophic to Europe. And it's catastrophic to us in turn because of what that does to our monetary system. Since we're hooked into Europe's monetary system. I mean, we might not be another Greece, but it's not going to be good for us. And it's certainly, when you look at maybe $200 for a barrel of crude on the New York Mercantile Exchange, $200 would mean we are definitely paying $7 for gas. And people hearing me say that are probably thinking, oh, that's ridiculous. That'll never happen. Lots of things were supposed to never happen. So it's infuriating to hear the president say, we're doing as much as we can to increase oil production, but we're not going to be able to just drill our way out of the problem of high gas prices. That's not true. We could drill our way out of high gasoline prices. Now, another thing, if we don't want to do it, if environmentalists are up in arms and to appease people who say, stop the drilling, stop anything offshore, we don't want it, we've got protests all over the place, and that's the way you want to play it, then that's the way you're going to play it. You're not. That means you're not tapping into the resources for political reasons. For political and environmental reasons. So really, that's what the administration should say. Environmentally, we don't want to do it. Yes, we know there's 200 billion barrels, and in 12 years, we could be completely self-sufficient, not relying on anyone for what we need as far as oil is concerned. But you know what? We're not going to do it, because we're not going to destroy XYZ resources, not under my watch. If he said that, that would be honest. That would be honest, because we could absolutely drill out of the gas prices. We could do it. If you want a piece of this argument, we'll let you hear what the president said in his own words coming up on the flip side. You can throw in your 2 cents at 800-259-5791. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now Utopiasilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit utopiasilver.com, utopiasilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
These are strange days indeed, from economic turmoil to weather-related events, and yes, even power outages. Hi, everybody. Jason Lewis here. Let me tell you why I use WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com provides the most affordable and complete ready-made meals for emergency preparedness and outdoor use. Their entrees like pasta Alfredo, savory stroganoff, and apple cinnamon cereal carry a 25-year shelf life and are prepared in minutes simply by adding water. They even provide great-tasting a la carte items like freeze-dried fruits, vegetables and desserts to ensure that you have more nutrition and energy when you need it most. Visit WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample and see for yourself why they are the best in the business. For a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's WiseFoodStorage.com or call 1-855-FOODWISE and be sure to mention the promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Be wise and be ready with WiseFoodStorage.com.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained a leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
Whoa, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, 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 when it came to winning Blue Ribbon. Well, I bet you taught the other kids how. Well, I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you took the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful baby. Cause baby, won't you look at you now? Come on, you are like it.
Coming up in our next segment, before we dive back into energy and Obama, I feel compelled to let you know that I'm going to tell you about the Occupy movement, which I think is dead. I think it's irrelevant now. You might think it's still relevant. And is it just a footnote? Well, certainly you're going to make the history books with the Occupy movement. And I can say all the places that I traveled this year, New York, when it first happened, the weekend that the Occupy movement started, I was in Manhattan. It was a small band of people screaming things in a megaphone at Zuccotti Park. But it started to grow. It got bigger, bigger, bigger. So certainly got attention. And in New Hampshire, there were people that were huddled around in tents and whatnot for an Occupy movement. In Washington, D.C., there were people camped out for the Occupy movement. But now I think it's irrelevant. And does it matter? Was there an impact? Was it a mixture of people, of a bad element, of a good element, of celebrity and paparazzi and people with money? Because certainly in New York, every time people were arrested, when you would check the list of people, they had, you know, Park Avenue addresses. So that's really not, in my opinion, that's really not the 99%. So I guess the question is, did the Occupy movement represent the so-called did the Occupy movement represent the so-called 99% really? Did it really do it? Or is it just a sexy, cool thing to do if you're a college student? I'm protesting. This is my moment. I'm going to go out and I'm going to be part of this movement. Because, really, we haven't had big movements in this country that you could be part of. You could say the Tea Party, but the Tea Party is, I think, something completely different from the idea of the Occupy movement. And the Tea Party did affect change, if you remember the elections and the Tea Party weighing in and getting people who, helping get people get elected who sort of ran under the Tea Party label. So completely different from the Occupy movement. Anyway, a little bit more on that in Odds and Ends. Plus, the Trayvon Martin case, I struck a nerve with that here on America Tonight. A bunch of you didn't agree with me. I think that Zimmerman, the cat who went after him, needs to be arrested. Hundreds of people marched in New York City in honor of the Florida teenager that was shot. They called it the Million Hoodie March in Manhattan. You know, I made the crack about hoodies, that any teenager could wear a hoodie. And yes, I understand that there are bad kids that wear jeans that are practically falling off their rear end, and they wear hoodies, and they might carry guns or whatever. But that certainly is a stereotype and doesn't represent a lot of other kids, like my young nephew who does belt his pants, by the way, but wears hoodies, and like all the other kids, like many of us. And that was just the point of the hoodie thing. But anyway, there's also a lot of people pushing for the police chief's firing in Sanford, Florida, because of now what has happened as a result. I mean, it's more than touched a nerve. We might have touched a nerve on this show, but it's more than done that across the country. And then it goes back to the whole standing your ground law that they've had since 2005 in that area, Sanford, Florida, in Florida, all across Florida. So I don't think they can fire the police chief, but there's pressure, and there's been a vote of no confidence for the chief as of Wednesday night, because how does it happen that George Zimmerman follows a 17-year-old kid, is told, just leave it alone, gets out of the car, next thing you know, the 17-year-old is dead with Skittles surrounding his head, and that's all he was doing. He was going to a convenience store. So anyway, there's been now a massive debate over those laws, which I'll throw this in if you've just tuned in for the first time. I don't own a gun, carry a gun, no. But I support the Second Amendment, and I support anyone's right to bear arms and protect themselves. Absolutely. I don't think we want to see that part of our Constitution ripped up. And there is the other side of this, where this can be used to manipulate some of those gun laws. So we'll see what happens with George Zimmerman, who, by the way, after further digging, did want to be a police officer, but was not ultimately accepted into the police academy, for whatever that means. Because I said I think he was a guy who had a chip on his shoulder and was and I don't know this, but seemed like he was a wannabe, I want to be a cop and I'm chasing people around. It's a sad story, regardless, all the way around. Sad, sad story. All right, the sad story of energy and why we keep going to the pumps and paying more, and it's cutting into our budget enough that it's affecting people who are just trying to string together the money to pay the bills, seriously, where you're trying to figure out, well, how can I not have to fill up as much, because $5 is ridiculous, $4 and change is ridiculous, and if we get to the point where they are in Europe and we're paying more than that, we don't want to be like Europe. We in the United States, it's a sacred cow. We don't want to pay $7 for gasoline, especially since we know we have plenty of things that we could tap into, including our own strategic oil reserves. We know we could do that. So the president had this to say about energy.
That's why we're producing more oil right now here in America than at any time in the last 8 years. Any time in the last 8 years. We're opening up more land for oil exploration. We've got more oil rigs operating. There are more pipelines out there that are being approved. I want everybody here to know that as long as I'm president, we will not walk away from the promise of clean energy. Some of these folks want to dismiss the promise of solar power and wind power and fuel-efficient cars. In fact, they make jokes about it. One member of Congress who shall remain unnamed called these jobs phony.
So a little sensitivity about clean fuel and solar, wind, and electricity I would throw into that. Electric cars, anyway, I would throw into that. But the idea that we're all going to, and we know this, I mean, it is what it is. If we could all have solar power and it was affordable and you would save a ton of money on your electric bills, I don't know what you're paying for your electric. I pay way too much. Let me tell you, I used to get bills, and I am not kidding you, I am not using too much energy. My house wasn't energy efficient. I was getting bills for like $500. I switched electric companies. Like, $500 a month? Are you kidding me? What do you think? I'm living in a palace with high ceilings? So if it was affordable to do solar, it's not that people wouldn't want it. It's that it is not affordable. And in the foreseeable future, it is not going to be affordable, Mr. President. We already know that. We've checked these prices. Wind, forget about it. Wind is dead. T. Boone Pickens was placing a whole bunch of money on wind and wind farms, and he said it's not going to work. He said it wasn't going to work, that it wasn't a viable source. I mean, you know, so forget about it. It's in the foreseeable future, it's not going to happen. Does it mean that certain people shouldn't, in relevant companies, pursue futuristic endeavors in these areas? Well, no. But we see what happens, like the company in California that drained a guaranteed federal loan because they were producing solar panels, but stupidly they didn't know the competition that was undercutting what they were trying to produce, and they just burned through a whole bunch of money. So the companies that are getting these grants, that is key. Who's getting the grants? What specifically are they doing? What's the business plan? I know it's a crapshoot. I know when you start new endeavors, a lot of them can fail. But with clean energy, so much has failed. So what do we attribute that to? Why has the bubble burst on this? He's certainly not, Obama's not the first president to suggest looking at alternatives. Even people from the Petroleum Institute, even if it's politically correct for them to throw it out there, they do pump money into alternatives because it's to their advantage to do that somewhat. And solar we've been talking about for a long time, 20, 30 years. So how long have solar panels been around? When do you remember seeing the first solar panels on a house somewhere? Reading about it in the newspaper, I'm going to say for sure the late 80s that solar panels were up in some people's houses in the United States. Very few, but they were there and they were being talked about. And here we are, 2012. So how do you talk about solar panels, have some people that are using it and are heating houses that way, and you get to 2012 and really very few people could afford to do that? How come it's not affordable and more widespread? I think it's more about the failure of clean energy. What's the problem? Especially since a lot of grant money has been pumped that way, and a lot of federal loans, guaranteed loans, have gone into companies that are pursuing clean energy or green energy or whatever you want to call it. Odds and ends, as promised, coming up, gift wrap next.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you having trouble paying your mortgage? Maybe your mortgage loan is upside down or in foreclosure. Maybe the bank already foreclosed on you. Don't sit around being a victim of bank fraud. Fight back. We have the tools to help you fight back. Here's how. Go to InspectorAudit.com and click on the GCN Radio Special. Order a summary audit. Find the real truth about your loan.
Maybe like me, you'll find your bank loan was paid off already. Maybe, like me, you'll find your bank defrauded you at the closing. And maybe, like me, you will go after them.
Did you know 78% of home loans in the last 10 years violated consumer credit laws? We should not let the banks get away with this fraud. Go to InspectorAudit.com and click on the GCN Radio Special. Order a summary audit today and find the truth about your mortgage loan. That's InspectorAudit.com or call 855-373-4948. That's 1-855-373-4948.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
In 1965, this was the sound. Permission, John. One more time. One more time. One more time. Fantasy. And a drag. Papa's got a brand new bag. Come here, mama. And let me tell you the scene.
Reminder here from all of us at ATN to all of you. We have the Sweet 16 coming up, so, because we want to give away some prizes, nail the score, mixed in with March Madness in our third hour of our Friday morning show. So just remember that. Randomly, a couple of those games will be picked out. And then all you have to do is, just like circling lottery numbers, tell us who you think's going to win, what the final score is going to be, and you could be a winner. $100 worth of sausage plus a wireless GPS. And by the way, to my man down under, your wireless package is on the way. He can test it out and he can tell us how it works. So, we're talking about a couple of different things. I got on the energy thing because the more I research this, the more we talk to people on the show, the more infuriating it is. There's a lot of misinformation out there, and there's a lot of lack of information. And overall, I mean, really, can we not pursue alternatives and quench our thirst for gasoline and have these coexist in our world? Of course we can. But there are interests that don't want to see alternatives. I will give the president that. And there are certainly people who don't want to see gasoline become readily affordable for eons from now. So, you know, we have the typical thing. We've got a big clash here. But solar panels on your entire house are not affordable for anybody who would consider themselves to be in the middle class. Not really. It's not affordable. And would it make a difference? Probably in some areas of the country, with enough sun, you would save a boatload on your energy consumption on your bills. Absolutely. But it's not feasible, and it's not widespread. Why it hasn't been massively produced, there's a lot of probably reasons for that, and I can name about three of them. Let's go to Jeff in Florida. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Kate. You talked about how that Obama is using the EPA to – he's closing coal fire plants. I think it was like 20 of them is being closed. He is using the EPA to shut down refinery facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to boost ethanol production. He's made it now 15%. Do you know what ethanol does to seals in cars?
Yeah,
kills
them.
To mechanics about it. It destroys the seals in cars. It does.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Jeff. But you know what? They have to design something that it wouldn't do that. Like in Brazil, I don't know what it is that they've tweaked with the cars, and maybe it does rip them up too. But you know that they have a switch and they go from ethanol to petro, and they've been doing it for a long time.
Well, there's nothing that I see for the foreseeable future to replace a combustion engine, the internal combustion engine using gasoline, or even using, you know, liquefied natural gas. There's nothing that's all going to be fossil fuels, carbon-based fossil fuels. And others in the next year, officially might have a water-based, you know, using hydrogen-based fuel, which is a great idea. It's still a long ways away from being really mass production. You know, it's still the environmentalists that go crazy over this stuff. You're going to be using the water to kill it, and it'll kill all the fish, and this, that, or that, and it'll be the same dog and pony show. But I've been looking at North Dakota. North Dakota, in 5 years, put down, on private land, 221 wells. You telling me it would take this long? It's not going to take a long time to put down wells and get this thing going. You got to have the will to do it.
I agree.
And you got to get the government out of the way.
I agree.
And they're not putting in new power plants. You're going to see massive brownouts in the next few years because of Obama's policies. And I wonder, and I'll just be honest with you, I wonder if Romney has the backbone, if he makes it and he beats Obama, will he have the backbone to undo this stuff? You know, it's going to take somebody with some guts to be able to undo this stuff because it's massive what he's done. He has in over three years, destroyed the infrastructure of this country. Our infrastructure is just being dismantled. Energy is the backbone of this country. Look at China; they're putting up coal fire plants like they can't get enough coal. They have to ship the coal from West Virginia and from Pennsylvania to there. Because we're not selling it. They can't make enough coal to have their fire plants to meet the industrial needs. We're over here destroying it, trying to get some wind and solar. What happens when the wind's not blowing? What happens when the sun is not shining? There's problems. It would take miles and miles. I've looked at data. It'd take miles and miles of solar panels to generate enough power for one city. Some medium-sized city would take thousands of acres.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's just a pipe dream.
Yeah.
The coal fire plants turn coal into plasma. It's so hot and it boils and it runs these huge turbines, which produces, near a gigawatt. Each coal fire plant can now produce almost a gigawatt. You know, nuclear power plants, they're not going to put them down because the environmentalist wackos are going crazy. So look what happened in Japan. And, you know, in Japan, they're stupid. They put them over a fault and near the ocean. You know, that's just stupidity. You know, so we haven't had anything except 3 miles, and that's because of human error. But we haven't had anything outside 3 miles in, what, 50 years? Or that's 30 years. Nothing's actually happened. you know, is, but, you know, nuclear, but really there's nothing going to, even nuclear is fossil fuel.
That's right. That's right.
And nuclear,
yeah.
And, but I'll tell you what, the amount of energy we have in this country, I've looked at projections just recently from the National Geology Association.
Sure.
I looked at projection. We have 1.7 trillion barrels of oil.
Yeah,
recoverable.
I know.
We have one of the biggest oil finds in the nation right close to me over here off of Destin, off of Fort Walton, Destin.
Yeah.
They have found a huge pocket. It's like 200 billion barrels of oil.
And yeah.
It's a huge pocket of oil and natural gas. I mean, they won't go get it. We don't need Saudi Arabia. We have, what, 10 times as much as the amount of Saudi Arabia has. But the government's getting in our way, and that's the reason our fuel prices should be back. When I was a kid, it was 50 cent a gallon when I was a kid. You know, I remember when it was, you know, when I was, you know, 12 years old, it was 89 cent, and that's for premium.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is just insane. My daddy used to pay a dime a gallon when he was growing up. He said, I can't believe it. You know, it's amazing. We're closing refineries. We're closing coal fire plants. And to produce the manufacturing, to manufacture, just say, copper takes a huge amount of energy. To separate the minerals, the copper minals from the other minerals.
Sure.
It takes a huge amount. I can explain the process, but it takes huge amounts of energy. And we're in industries. Coal, iron, all these industries we're not going to have the infrastructure. He is destroying it. He hates this country.
Yeah.
And nobody can convince me that he doesn't hate this country. Nobody will convince me. Because
Jeff, you were very passionate about this. Thanks for the call. You made some great points on the energy front. You know, 1.7 trillion. I said these numbers earlier. That's why I was hot when I got on the air, because I just keep going through the same thing over and over again, and it makes no sense. And you furthered it. You're right. China's taking advantage because, of course, in West Virginia, I would do it too. They want to thrive and survive. Give the Chinese what they need. And look what's happening just off of our waters in Florida. You mentioned Destin. On the other side of Florida, of course, in between Cuba, there's a pocket of tons of oil. What do you think's happening with the Chinese and the Russians? Where are they? They're out there getting the oil. We're not doing it. And we're denying ourselves, ultimately, what we need in this country. It is insanity. It's insanity. And he's right. Jeff is right. If you look at what it would take solar-wise for an entire city, even a small suburb, it's not going to happen in my lifetime, probably not Jeff's lifetime, probably not my 10-year-old nephew's lifetime. We got to wake up, America.